excellent movie adventures.
Hello and welcome to another excellent movie adventure with me, Thomas, and my co-host, Pickle.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Awesome.
I just finished watching the movie that we're supposed to watch this week before nice. That episode of South Park I was watching. I tried to watch it I was going to watch it yesterday, but I played Red Dead for too long, and then it was too late, and I couldn't finish it, so I had to finish it today.
I watched it last night and tried to stay awake through it all. I'm tired.
I couldn't make it either, although this week's movie, without saying what it is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch anything good this week?
No.
No?
I watched nothing. I'm busy.
I also didn't really watch much. I think I watched like one episode of King of Queens, maybe.
Yeah.
One or two episodes of South Park. Mm. I've also been busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of stuff going on at work. We got like employee changeover and stuff like that. So lots of training and extra hours to be putting in.
Mm. Yep. Putting in extra hours, but for no reason other than it's daylight.
I spent some time shooting yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
The old bow and arrows from pretty far, about 20 yards.
Yeah,
got it. That's good. Pretty well dialed in. I was hitting it like every time, which is pretty good.
Hitting it every time or like getting a solid grouping every time?
Well, my box target's not that big. Have you seen it? Still. It's like this.
No, because we shot mine.
Oh, okay. I'll show it to you after this.
Okay.
It's a pretty good target.
Yeah. We should do like a dinner or something on like a Sunday, and then we can just shoot, and then my kids can run around crazy, and then that's the only time I get to spend with them.
Yeah, we definitely could. I don't know, maybe like next Sunday or something.
Yeah.
And also, I got my last pedal I was waiting in for this and the power stuff for it, and all my cabling showed up, so I spent one night this week. I actually put on Saving Private Ryan. I was going to watch that while I did this, but this required more attention than I thought, and so I didn't watch it at all. It was just playing in the background, and I didn't finish it, but...
Dude, that's a long show.
I know.
I almost picked that for the movie this week, and I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll cover it at some point.
Yeah.
Because it is a great movie. But anyway, I'll plug it in for you afterwards. Yeah. I've got a new tuner that showed up.
Nice.
For it. And so I sold the last one because it had a problem with the switch. Oh. It was not shielded properly.
Huh.
So when I stepped on it, you could hear it coming through the amp. And so I got rid of it and got a new one. And this one had a brand new pedal, had a short in the power input jack. So like when you stepped on it or bumped it in any way, like sometimes it would just shut off. Huh. And then you'd have to like...
Jiggle it
to turn it back on. So I returned that. They were from the same manufacturer, believe it or not.
Don't buy that anymore.
I know. And the thing is, like, I've bought stuff from them in the past and it's always been great. Yeah. But these two tuners were just garbage.
Mm. Did they get bought out? By Chinese company?
No. And the thing is, like, they have a, like, this brand has a pretty decent, like, reputation.
Yeah.
And specifically for their tuners. But I jumped ship. I bought something different. Mm. So I'm not willing to try it again.
Now you're just constantly out of tune.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. I'll spend my money elsewhere. So, but anyway, it lights up super cool. I'll show you when I'm done.
Yeah.
The tuner's not on it now. Mm. But I got a cool one that lights up really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Yeah. Other than that, like I said, just playing Red Dead. Not really up to much.
Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't even play Skyrim. Not Skyrim. I'm tired.
Witcher?
Witcher. Yeah. That other adventure game. I haven't played that for like 3 weeks. I'm missing it. I thought I was going to play it this week, and then just didn't have time.
Oh, man. Well, shoot, that was really fast first couple of minutes.
It's all right. It's late.
We're going to bang this one out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we'll jump really, I don't know, maybe we'll find a segue for a sponsor halfway through, you think?
Yeah, I mean, we can always make one.
All right. Well, this week, Thomas picked one of my favorite movies for us to watch, so I was super stoked. I've, like, I am really non-committal when it comes to like selecting, like if you tell me you have to name your top five favorite movies, mm-hmm. I can't do it.
Oh right? Yeah, for sure.
I can't do it. It's impossible. Mostly because there's just so many movies that I love. I would hate to try to like narrow it down. Mm-hmm. However, there are some movies that I would say have cracked that list and will stay there. And this is one of those movies.
The ending for me. So I haven't seen this for a while. Not the actual ending, but like 15 minutes from the ending, it was like, oh, and man, the casting in this is great. I forgot how many big people are in this.
Yeah. So, so the movie we watched is Martin Scorsese's The Departed.
Yes.
It came out in 2006. It is rated R. It's a 2.5 hour long movie. It doesn't feel like it.
No.
It flies by. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Filmed on a budget of $90 million. Hmm. And opening weekend, it only made 26, but worldwide gross, it made 290.
Oh, okay.
So
word got out about it.
Yeah. Word must have got out. So this movie, I actually remember the first time that I saw it.
Yeah.
So I did not see this movie in theaters, unfortunately. It's 2006, so that's the year we graduated.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff going on, you know, yeah. For us, I guess, you know, graduating.
Like graduation.
So anyway, this movie kind of like slipped past me. I did not watch this in theaters.
Yeah.
I saw it later, years later. Lizzie and I were in this apartment over on Dave,
yeah.
D Avenue. And I was watching it on the TV that we had down there, like mm-hmm. a smaller TV. So before we got like
before our, you got fancy.
Before we got fancy with the big TVs, which our first fancy TV was in that apartment. Yep. But before we got fancy, because if you remember right, we went to that graduation party
mm-hmm.
and I won a TV at that event.
Oh, yeah.
You remember? Uh-huh. It was that TV, I'm pretty sure. So anyway, nothing fancy. It's like one of the first generation flat screens for those of you who might remember. They still have the giant backs on them.
They're still super like heavy. 3 inches thick.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, it was like a regular like projection TV. It just had a flat like HD screen on
it. Was it?
So the back of it was like all huge.
Oh, okay.
Like,
bubbled I thought out. It was just like really thick still.
Oh, no. Huh. It was a big TV. Anyway, so I was watching it just kick back in that sweet recliner mm-hmm. double couch thing that we had at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like on the edge of my seat, like literally like inching forward, like leaning forward in the chair and like sitting on the edge of my seat. And when the moment comes that we'll get to later,
mm-hmm.
I don't think we need to protect spoilers. I'm just not ready to cover it yet.
Yeah.
But there's a moment that comes later in the movie and it blew my freaking mind. No pun intended.
Yeah.
And like, I literally was just, my exact expression was like, what? Like, I couldn't believe it. And at that exact moment, I knew that I messed up not seeing this in theaters.
Yeah.
Because if I was that invested in it on a small TV in a crappy living room
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the day,
yeah.
like not even at night with the lights off or anything, man, I would have loved that in theaters.
Yeah. So here's how bad my theater experience was with this. This is the only movie I've ever walked out of, and it was because I was with a girl that I was dating at the time, and she was like, oh, that girl is going to get brutally murdered. She's like, I can't, we're leaving.
Is it the girl you're currently married to at this time? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow, you really blew it, Ashley.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to throw her under the bus so you can make fun of her. But I just was trying to protect her for later events where she shows up at your house. Yeah. She was like, I can't do it. And then, like, I watched it after that at my house, and I was like, oh.
It's funny that she like, thinks that, the, like, that girl's going to get murdered, because that I never get that sense in the movie that she's going to go.
I don't know, maybe.
Like, the only time that ever crosses my mind, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess maybe once she slept with both characters, you can kind of think, like, oh, something might happen to her.
Whereas after that, and Matt Damon's, like, pounding on the door.
Yeah, but that's, like, at the end of the movie.
I know. I was really disappointed.
That's, like, right before everything goes sideways. Yeah.
Man, it was really disappointing to see that at home and like I missed it so bad.
Anyway, I love this movie, and I will permanently count it in my top five.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just one of those movies.
It is great.
Yeah. There's only three movies, and one of them I kind of pull out, so I guess there's really only two movies that I consider to have permanently cracked my top five. The Departed.
Yeah.
And Die Hard.
Yeah.
Those are the two. They're in.
Yeah.
There's no getting out.
Dude, so I haven't actually watched this show for probably like 8 years. So yeah. I'm like, I've always liked it, but I just never revisited. I knew how it ended. But that elevator scene, when it happened last night when I was watching, I was like, oh! Like rewatching it again for the first time. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So good.
So
we should go over the cast as well, because there's a lot of people in the cast.
Yeah, I don't want to forget that. That's for sure.
Jack Nicholson, Matt Damon, Leo.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio, Mark Wahlberg, Martin Sheen.
Dude, I forgot those two are in this, and they're a big part of it.
Yeah, Kristen Dalton and Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin and Louis Anderson. Or no, what's his name? Anthony Anderson. That's who.
Oh, Anthony.
I was surprised to see him. I was like, Anthony what? Anderson.
You know, he's this, I don't know what it is about him, but I like love him and hate him.
Yes.
Like, it just depends on what it is. You know what I mean? Like, because in this movie, he's a kind of more minor role.
Yeah.
And he's very good in it. Mm-hmm. You know, don't take anything away from him. His performance is great. But and then there's some just some stuff shows that he's in that's, I don't know what it is. I just turn it off when I see it.
Yeah.
And it's like his performance. It's like, I guess it's not purely him. It's just that in those movies, the movie is bad already. And then he like,
over the top.
He's like over the top in them. And it just pushes me over the edge to change the channel.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe I like him more as a serious actor than a comedic actor. Because for me, it's all of the comedies that he's in.
It's like a little bit like Tyler Perry. Like, he can be a good serious actor, but like all the Medeas and all that stuff, it's just like, no, thank you. Not interested at all.
He's all right, Me and Myself and Irene, though.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know.
He's hit and miss as well. That's all I'm getting at.
No, I was still talking about Anthony Anderson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I didn't remember Tyler Perry in there, but I was like, he might have been.
I don't think he is anyway. Yeah. But yeah, Anthony Anderson, he's for sure in Me, Myself, and Irene, and he's one of the sons.
Yep. Yeah.
And they're not a very significant part of the film.
But when he's on screen, he's good.
Yeah, when he's on screen, he is good. Let's see here. I think that's it as far as people that I like.
You know.
That are like big names.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a stellar cast, and of course, directed by Martin Scorsese.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Corgan. He's not a big actor, but when you see him, you're like, oh, he's in a ton of stuff. But he's always a minor role.
Oh, yeah. He's in Pineapple Express.
Yeah.
That's the movie that pops in and out of my top five.
Yeah.
I don't know why. That movie just knows how to rub my funny bone, man. Yeah. I don't know why I love that movie. I think it's like super quotable, and I can just watch it over and over again. It doesn't get old.
Yeah, that's pretty much all the cast.
Wow, you can like hear Lulu through the microphone.
Got a loud kid.
Yeah, she's pretty loud. Oh, man. Oh, I got some notes.
Okay.
I left them on my phone, though. I was on the bed, so I had to stretch to get to them. All right. So this movie does have quite a bit of like quotable lines in them.
Yeah.
But I feel like the best one comes really early in the movie, right as Jack Nicholson is like about to appear on screen, where he's basically saying, I don't want to be a product of my environment. I want my environment to be a product of me.
Yeah.
And then it shows like his interaction with the people at that local store when he meets Matt Damon's character for the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just liked it.
Yeah, it was really good.
That being said, also the character relations seem to go like way deep.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I liked how they did that, how you see them growing up in the town, and you see the vast difference between how the kids were raised.
Yeah, well, so you don't see...
Well, you don't see...
DiCaprio.
Yeah, but then when they're going through the academy, like when they're coming up and everything, it's just like...
totally like how different their career starts were.
Yeah.
And then you learn, I mean, you get to know DiCaprio's backstory. They just don't show it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also like seemingly nameless characters like Anthony Anderson's character who show up early in the film they come back around and some are more important than others. Like the guy who Matt Damon meets in the Academy is a more important character, even though he's got less lines and he's on screen less than Anthony Anderson.
Yeah. The payout at the end is far greater,
but I don't know. It just makes the character, like the world seem more real, you know, that all of these characters seem to loop back around on top of one another. And I just, they do a great job of like parrying the two main characters against one another without them like crossing paths or knowing. Because like right as we see the end of like them both graduating, we see Matt Damon is in the office with Queenum and Dignam. Mark Wahlberg's character, and he's there basically like welcoming him to the unit or whatever for the first time, and Mark Wahlberg's giving him a hard time because he gives everybody a hard time.
Yeah.
And then as he's leaving the office, DiCaprio is sitting in the chair waiting to go in. And then he goes in and basically gets the same the just same treatment from Mark Wahlberg, only he's being given the very important undercover assignment. Anyway, so what I wrote here, they're also like intently different. Everything about them is different.
Yeah.
So like even minor character decisions. So like when later when the main love interest goes to move in with Matt Damon, like he won't let her put up her photo, but then later DiCaprio is drawn to the photo and puts he hangs it up.
Yeah.
Because he likes the photo. You know what I mean? So like everything about them couldn't be any more similar. Yeah, the only thing that they share is that they're both cops.
Yeah. And know some of the same people.
A lot of the same people. Yeah.
So but I thought that was interesting though, because they show Matt Damon's character, like his family's poor, his dad's not around or anything like that. And he takes him under his wing as a young kid and brings him up. And then when they're getting interviewed, then they have Leonardo DiCaprio's character, like he comes from money. Basically, it sounds like.
Well, he has one. So his dad seems to be like well connected.
Yeah.
And well off. But also, Nicholson's character and Frenchie know his father.
Yeah.
And know that he's like not one to mess with like criminals and stuff. Like he's a serious guy.
Yeah.
If
you don't cross his
path. Yeah. They said like if your father saw us together, he'd kill 10 people just to kill me.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, his mom and his mother's side of the family is not wealthy. And they're, like, low-life criminals and stuff like that. Yeah. With the exception of that one, the uncle who is at the hospital.
Yeah.
Seems well-dressed, but he's like, it's the same side of the family.
Yeah, he almost seemed a little slimy, like he's trying to
Yeah. Super slime ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, the two characters, main characters are intently different and just seeing how Matt Damon is like starts to get taken care of and groomed from like an early age, you know what I mean, to somehow help
run the criminal
Costello empire. Just you really get this sense of like spoiled entitlement from him, which I feel like the scene that best encapsulates that in the movie for Matt Damon's character is the one where he's there to sign the papers for his new apartment.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
He's just so fixated on that view of like this Capitol building or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
That big gold,
the golden dome.
Yeah. Dome. And the guy finds, he's like, what do you do anyway? He's like, oh, I'm a cop. So he can afford it because he has a co-signer, which I assume is Costello.
Probably.
And so that's why he can afford the apartment that he's getting. And the guy, but the guy doesn't know he has a co-signer. So he's like, oh, you're a cop. Are you married? Or like, you know, like you can't afford this place. And he becomes immediately upset and offended by that. Even the thought that he's not good enough to be in this building, which they kind of touch on again later at the very end of the movie as he's coming back to his apartment.
Yeah.
After all the craziness and stuff, there's a lady with her dog and she's very well dressed, this lady. Like you can tell this is a hoity-toity apartment. And like he like bends over to like pet the dog and she pulls the dog like out of the way so he can't touch her dog.
Yeah.
because he doesn't belong in their building.
Well, even in that same scene where he's signing the papers, the realtor guy, when he signs them, he says, "Welcome to the upper class."
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, he turns and like gives that guy like some attitude. He's like, just leave him over there or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see here. And then for DiCaprio, so he had a rough go growing up and also not so much.
Yeah.
He basically lived a double life going back and forth because his parents were separated.
Yeah. And he was just like getting into fights all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has major anger issues. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the cuts in and out of his interview are done really well, I think, to show like his like swings in emotion, you know, because he's like trying not his hardest to not get up and punch Mark Wahlberg in the face as they're like talking and stuff. I don't know. Just that intro. Cause what it's doing is Matt Damon leaves. Mm-hmm. And then that's like the first thing we see is him signing papers and it's cutting back and forth between that and DiCaprio's storylines.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It just jumps back and forth and you get to see both of these characters at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
At like kind of the core of who they are.
Yeah. You know?
I don't know. I just thought it was really good.
Yeah, it's good stylistically telling the story.
Yeah. So, I mean, the basic plot of the film, I guess, is you have these two people enter the police academy.
Two rats.
Yeah. Well, one of them is a rat to begin with.
Yeah.
Because the whole reason he's there. Mm-hmm. Is to be a rat. That's why he joined the police, is because he's part of the mob.
Mm-hmm.
So he's there to be a rat. And the other one joined the police force to become a police officer.
Yeah, to be a rat for the criminal mob.
Well, he didn't know that's what anybody was going to ask of him. They took him straight out of the academy. He just graduated the police academy, so he's not like...
No, I mean like Matt Damon's being a rat. I think he...
No, that's what I said. Matt Damon...
Yeah.
Entered the police to be a rat.
Yeah.
But DiCaprio didn't. He entered the police to be a police officer.
Yeah, yeah.
He had no intentions
of being
undercover necessarily. Yeah, yeah. They brought it up to him.
Yeah, I'm just saying the story is about these two basically rats on either side of the law.
Yeah, and they're chasing each other's tails just round and round and round. Yeah. And like the tension in this movie just...
It builds so well.
Yeah, I imagine like... these two rats on like a corkscrew thing. And it's just like getting closer and closer together as they spiral towards the top where everything explodes like Nakatomi Plaza. Like that's basically like how I view this movie. And it's so funny because like there are other hints towards other rats in the film also.
Yeah.
And there's this, the dinner where Nicholson is drawing on the table, he's drawn this like city of rats essentially, and even says that he's, you know, sick of all these rats everywhere and stuff like that. And then we find out later on in the movie, like he is also a rat, which is pretty crazy.
Everyone's a rat.
Everyone. Yeah. Except for Frenchie and some other characters that probably weren't important enough to be rats.
Yeah.
But essentially what you have is an undercover officer, DiCaprio, implanted in the mob, and he is there to help catch Costello, played by Jack Nicholson. And then Matt Damon, who is basically Jack Nicholson, is like his father figure. He helped bring him up and bring him into his criminal empire while also keeping his nose clean and making sure he didn't get into trouble so that he could join the police force and become a rat, which is exactly what he does. He ends up in the special investigations unit and he's feeding information to the mob and Jack Nicholson so that they can get away and get, you know, not be arrested essentially.
The scene where they have the chip deal or whatever, where they're selling the computer
the microchips.
Yeah, microchips. I thought that was so well done, how they're trying to both catch each other at the same time and then also not be caught by each other's same side of what they're doing. Like, it'd be so stressful.
Yeah, because at that point, both sides are aware that they have a rat.
Yeah.
And so they get there and... Matt Damon shows like he doesn't know anything about this operation, the sting that they have planned. So he's already behind the eight ball. So he's trying to figure out a way to ahead. Yeah, which is funny because they use the exact same trick.
Uh-huh.
Like they're just texting in their pockets. You know what I mean? Like on these old flip phones. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, everybody put your phones away.
Turn them off.
Yeah, turn them off. So he doesn't turn his off. He's texting in his pocket to be like, hey, no phones. Mm-hmm. They're monitoring the cellular network there or whatever.
Yeah.
So then Nicholson's like, everybody turn off your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So they all turn him off except for DiCaprio, who has it on in his pocket, and he just texts a dollar sign to let him know, hey, there's a deal going down right now if you want to move in.
Well, he doesn't even have it in his pocket. Did you notice that? He has it off to the side of a pillar.
Yeah, he's just kind of like... Boop. He does take it out of his pocket so that he can like send the one message or whatever.
But in a dark warehouse, people are going to see that light, man.
I know, right? Anyway, they basically got cameras set up all over the place. And I love that scene because they're so sure that, like, they're going to catch him. They're going to catch him. And then that one guy who, like, set up all the cameras didn't put any cameras in the back. Yeah. And then they go right to where the blind spot is, which is honestly just blind luck. Because Mark Wahlberg didn't know anything about that operation. Mm-hmm. And they managed to do the deal in the one area where no one can see anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean... So he says, like, I only had 2 hours to set up these cameras.
Yeah.
I didn't have 2 weeks.
one of my probably second favorite line takes place during that scene where Wahlberg is like, everyone is pissed that they can't see anything. And finally, he's just like, man, who the hell set up all these cameras anyway? And he's like, the guy who set him up is like, well, I only had 2 hours to set him up. Who are you anyway? And he's like, I'm the guy who does his job. You must be the other guy. Oh, man. And he gets right in that dude's face. Mark Wahlberg is so amazing in this movie because he's not like a centrifugal character or anything, but his character provides the comedy relief for the movie and also is like a much needed source of tension.
Oh, yeah. He's so aggressive.
Because he's aggressive with everyone except Queenum. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and he's just there to push buttons. Like when he gets in that fight with Matt Damon the first time.
Yeah.
And they pull him off of each other. Or no, not Matt Damon. DiCaprio.
Yeah,
under that bridge. Mm-hmm. And Queenum separates them and like pulls them apart from each other. Matt Damon or Mark Wahlberg, man, there's so many people's names, has this like big just grin on his face that he was able to get him to snap and throw a punch at him. DiCaprio was just pissed off.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't even imagine, like, there's, I don't know, just so many crazy scenes where it's like, if they're hunting you, you know what I mean? And you're there while they're hunting you, just trying to keep your nose clean.
Yeah.
You know? And like, later he doesn't want to like tell them what's happening because he's like, I can tell this is like disinformation and they're lying about some kind of drug deal. They just want to find out if I know, don't say anything. Don't try to bust them. Nothing. Just tail them.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you'll catch them and get lucky, but like just the tension, you know? And I think one of the best ways that they show this early in the film too, is when he's trying to get into the gang and they tell him to leave. You know, so first off, I want to touch on the first scene. So he has to go to prison, right, to prove that he was kicked out of the police academy or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he gets kicked out of the police academy. They have him busted for some fake crime that he didn't commit. Mm-hmm. They put him in jail for X amount of time, who knows how long.
Yeah.
And then
I think they say it's 12 months. So, I mean, it's a year.
A year?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time.
Got to make it seem real, man.
And anyway, so he goes to jail, and then when he gets out, he meets up with his cousin, who is like a known...
Known old drug dealer.
Yeah.
Kind of a nobody.
Yeah, kind of a nobody on the ladder, but it's his only way in.
Yeah.
So he gets a meeting with these guys, and I love that scene at the bar because
the cousin
is just talking to them, like telling them, like, hey, you know, he's from good stock... you know, so-and-so was his father or whatever. And he's at the bar and they're like, hey, what can we get to drink? And he's like, oh, I'll just have a cranberry juice.
And the guy's like,
what are you on your period?
My wife drinks. Oh no. So the other guy says my wife drinks those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he is insulted. So he punches the guy, grabs him and like punches him, knocks him to the ground.
He gets his glass and smashes his face
over his head. Yeah. So bloodies this guy all up, throws him to the ground, and then Frenchie grabs him and throws him against the wall.
Yeah.
At which point he's like, he knows that he can't go after Frenchie because Frenchie's with
yeah.
Castillo. Costello, yeah. Costello, Costigan. There's just so many similar names. Mark, Matt, Martin.
That one dude.
There's so many people. Anyway, he throws him against the wall, and so he's like, what are you doing? And tries to, like, blow past him to hit the guy again.
Yeah.
But he grabs him and puts him back, and he's like, hey, there are guys you can hit, and there's guys you can't hit. And that's not quite a guy that you can't hit, but it's a guy you almost can't hit. And then the funny thing is that afterwards, he's like, what are you drinking anyways? And he's like, cranberry juice. And he's like, what are you, on your period?
I like how you can see in his face, he's like, I'm going to hit him.
And so then he, you know, shoves him away, like, hey, stop doing drug deals with your cousin.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of are looking out for people in their neighborhood that have gone through something. Like, they know his mother just died.
Yeah.
So they don't even want him in the crew because they're like, hey, dude, you're just overreacting to a death in the family. You're acting reckless, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So go get your life straightened out. You know, go do something else. You don't want anything to do with us, you know? Which is basically what they tell him to get him out of there. And then he picks that guy up off the ground. And I don't even remember what he says. But then Frenchie beats the hell out of him. The guy you almost can't hit.
Yeah.
But he can hit him.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, so then later he's at this, like, grocery store, like a small market.
A little diner thing, because he's eating food there.
Yeah, he's eating. And this like, rival gang shows up. The, what do they call them?
Yeah, I don't remember. They're from, what are they? Not Pikeys.
Yeah, something not else. Pikeys. Something with a G. Not Gypsies.
Oh, Gypo.
No, I don't think that was it.
They said it in there something.
They say it a few times. The Guineas.
Oh, yeah, Guineas. Yeah.
Anyway, so these Guineas come in, and they're going to get their, like, extortion money from the place or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, hey, what are you guys from, the Guineas or something? And they're just like, mind your own business, dude. And then he just unloads on them.
He punches that guy in the throat.
Yeah, he punches the first guy in the throat, drops him, and then beats the other guy down on the ground, throws him through, like, that glass freezer door.
Yeah.
The guy who owns the shop is like, you're making this way worse.
She's yelling at him, get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here. And then he is hitting that guy and he breaks his hand.
Yeah.
So he grabs the coat hanger and flips it upside down and is jabbing, like, the hooked end of the coat hanger into this guy's face.
Oh.
So finally, the guy's like, get out of here. So he leaves. The next thing is they're looking after him because he's the cousin of this guy who works for him, essentially, you know. And now their interest is piqued because he came to them. So they're just keeping an eye out for this reckless kid or whatever.
Yeah.
And they bring him in to talk to him because the Guineas are going to kill him if they see him now because he attacked two of their gang members, right? So they bring him in, but they want to make sure they know that he was in the police academy because it's, like, public record.
Yeah.
So they want to make sure that he's not
Still a cop
or wearing a wire. So he searches him. Frenchie's searching him while Costello is questioning him. And he finally gets to the cast that he's wearing because he has a broken arm. And he just slams his hand down on the pool table and breaks this cast off of his hand. Mm-hmm. And DiCaprio is, like, screaming the whole time. And then finally, Nicholson walks over and is like, I'm really sorry to have to do that, but, you know, we just really have to be sure about what's going on. And so then he grabs his hand and holds it down, and he's like, are you still a cop? And he's like, no. And then he smashes DiCaprio's work boot down on his own hand. Yeah. Are you a cop? And he hits him, like, three or four times with that boot, like, smashing hard his hand, which is broken already.
Yeah.
And then finally, he's just like, anyway, I'm really sorry about all of this. Here's some money for your hand. Yeah, go get your hand fixed. And he counts off, like, $200 or $300, and then he just throws the whole bundle of cash down on the table because he just, like, I don't know how much this is. Oh, man. I love you. Yeah. So when it comes to Frank Costello, Jack Nicholson's character, you also get a great sense for who he is, too, because of the scene where he meets Mm-hmm. Matt Damon, like, he's just like, he's obviously a gangster, you know?
Yeah, but he's trying to be good to people around him.
Yeah, he like is legit, which is how a lot of gangs start, you know? They're looking out for people in the neighborhood and stuff. Mm-hmm. But he goes into the store to extort money from them.
Yeah.
Which it's like $20 or something. It's a super small amount of money. I had to rewind it to double check because I was like, a 10 and two fives? That's what he came down there for? Because he even says that, don't make me come down here for this again. You know? But like, it's like nothing. The money, you know?
It's the principle.
Yeah. And then while he's there, he makes a joke about whether the guy's daughter has had her period yet or not, you know? And then I actually thought for a minute that, like, she was the redheaded girl that he's married
growing up. That's also what I thought.
Yeah, but it's not. They have different names.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't catch the name. So it was
Because later my wheels were turning and I was like, dude, lots of characters are like looping back around. Mm-hmm. And that scene is kind of weird too, because he makes that joke as he's like paying her for something. And then she like pulls her arm away from him. But then it like cuts to the kid and then cuts back. And she's like leaning over the counter and he's like whispering something to her.
Yeah.
And she like moves away, but is smiling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then he gives her some money and says, go buy some makeup.
Yeah. Go buy some makeup. Yeah. So anyway, and then later he's married to a redheaded lady, you know, and she's significantly younger than him.
Oh yeah.
So I thought it was the same girl, but, the girl at the beginning of the movie is called like Carolyn or something like that. Yeah. I don't even remember, but, and his wife's name is Gwen.
Oh,
so two totally different names, but yeah, I thought the same thing. So, but anyway, you get this sense that like, he's never quite moved.
He does
care for other people. Yeah. And as his crime industry grew, he likes the thrill of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And you can tell because of, like, kind of how reckless he is.
Well, they even mention it in there that he's got all the money he ever needs, but it's not about the money.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just having fun.
Yeah, he's in it for the thrill. Because multiple people, Matt Damon and DiCaprio, are like, dude, you're like, how old are you?
Yeah.
You're 50 years old? You don't need to be doing this stuff. Send other people to do this for you. Just pay them to do it.
Yeah.
But he goes every time. And he's handling business. Like when
for sure.
One of the probably most craziest scenes, in my opinion, is when DiCaprio's in the bar and they're like waiting around to see like what they're going to be doing or whatever. And it's right before he sends them home because they're going to use a different crew.
Oh, it's when he's getting the pedigree check on them.
No, so that's, I don't remember if it's before or after that. It's the time where he comes out and he's covered in blood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And his hands are just, like, all the way up to his elbows.
Yeah,
it's just red with blood all over his shirt. Mm-hmm. Like, he was in the back room torturing someone.
Yeah.
Trying to find out who the mole is. And DiCaprio didn't know what was going on back there. Like, when he comes out of the room, like, his eyes are just so wide. Like, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad they said I could go home. Yeah. Oh, man.
You know, I thought that DiCaprio, like, he finally got his Oscar for Revenant, but when I started watching this, I was like, he's so good in this. Like, he should have been nominated. I don't know if he was or not for this, but so good.
Do you know Brad Pitt won an award for this movie?
For what?
He helped, like, he has a producer for that.
Yeah.
So I guess he was offered some kind of role.
Hmm.
I don't know what. And
probably be Frenchie.
I don't know. Huh. It might be when we're looking through stuff later. I just saw it in one of, like, I was Googling some stuff, and I came across that Plan B, which is Brad Pitt's production company, won some kind of award, an Oscar or something.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so. Anyway, and he's all covered in blood. I would be so relieved to go home.
Oh, yeah.
Another scene that I thought was pretty funny that just goes to show, like, how kind of like shoot from the hip he runs his organization is later he sends Frenchie and DiCaprio to go and collect money from this bookie. And they're there and there's this guy, his name, I remember it was being funny, Jimmy Baggs, is in there with him, and Jimmy Baggs turns and they're like both kind of standing in the back of the room watching Frenchie beat the crap out of this bookie. And then he like reaches into his pocket and DiCaprio sees him reaching for a gun, so he takes his gun out and just smashes him right in the face with the gun and knocks out some of his teeth. And Jimmy Baggs is laying on the floor, and he's like, what are you doing? That's Jimmy Baggs. And Jimmy Baggs rolls over, spits out a tooth, and he's like, I was just reaching for my cigarettes. Yeah. And he's like, I'm sorry. It looked like he was reaching for a gun. A gun? That's Jimmy Baggs. Yeah. Like everyone knows who this he's not going to do anything. And then, like, that's when they're kind of showing, like, this montage of time mm-hmm. passing. One of the great ways I think that they did that, too, is that at some point, big bruise, like a black eye, shows up on DiCaprio's face.
Yeah.
And we later find out what it's from. But it's, like, at least 20 minutes later in the movie that we find out what happened to him. Because it's like he's talking about being in a room with a serial killer, you know what I mean? And having to have like a steady hand and stuff. And that's mm-hmm. when we see what actually happened to his face. But like they're basically showing this montage and over time with him having to go to this shrink all the time.
Yeah.
At some point, he has this bruise on his face, this black eye, and then it like starts to heal. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. in the next scene. And like, they're kind of having like the same conversation, but it's doing that as like a way to show that time has passed.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was kind of an interesting, like very subtle way of doing that.
Oh yeah.
Cause I never like, you notice when he has it on his face, but like it wasn't until today when I was like really watching it
mm-hmm.
that I was like, oh, that's pretty genius.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To show that that's how like time has been going by.
Mm-hmm. Well, they also do that. I mean, a little more obviously, but with his cast, like there's some scenes where he's got it and then it kind of jumps back and forth mm-hmm. and he doesn't have it and then he has it again and then it's just gone for the rest of the film.
And then also it changes. So he has the cast, but then they broke it off, right?
Yeah.
So after that, he never has the hard cast again. It's like a wrap.
It's just a wrap, yeah.
Because it's easier to take off to check for wires, which makes sense.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just like, there's so many small details in this movie like mm-hmm. that. Like, you would never notice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just, it, you can tell that the thought went into, like, why wouldn't he just have another plaster cast made?
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't want him to break it off again. You know?
Yep.
It makes total sense. Let's see what else I have written down here for notes under the Jimmy Baggs section. And the scene where they burn down the drug house. Oh, yeah. That's when we figure out where the black eye came from.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's when the black eye shows up for the first time. So that's just my note on how it shows paying attention to detail. It's not till later, the second house that they burn down. This is the first time is when that guy gets arrested, Fitzy.
Oh, yeah.
And Matt Damon is like, hey, did he, has his lawyer showed up? No. And he doesn't know what he looks like? No. So he just grabs a random briefcase, tells him to shut off the camera, and he goes in there and pretends to be the lawyer, which was a pretty ingenious way of finding out a way to alert them.
Yeah.
That, you know, someone's was picked up, mm-hmm. someone's on their tail. So he calls, hey, mom, I'm not going to be home for dinner. You know, sorry, I got held up at work or whatever, you know, and then gets off the phone.
But my friends are still coming over.
Yeah. But the number is like, to one of their cell phones or whatever, mm-hmm. which at the time it would have just shown the area that the call went to. It wouldn't just say like, at least that's the tech they have in the phone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In the movie is you can see where the call went to like physically,
mm-hmm.
but not what phone it went to, I guess, for whatever reason.
No, he says that's his mom's phone number. That's where he lives. And so that.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So they know it's that phone number.
Yeah.
But the phone that is picked up isn't a house phone.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Frenchie's cell phone.
Yeah.
So that's what he calls. But later when they're like monitoring the warehouse, they mm-hmm. have that like weird, like.
It picks up the cell signals and.
Right. But the location, like the physical location. Mm-hmm. So like that call, if they traced it, like where did it go? It went to that house.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. So it's a pretty ingenious way of like both giving the police somewhere to go look, but also alerting them that they need to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So when the police show up, it's on fire.
Yeah,
there's nobody there. I don't know. There's just a lot of like thought that goes into like building these scenes.
Especially I liked how later in the movie when Martin Sheen is on the roof with Leonardo DiCaprio and they figure out who they think they know who the rat is and mm-hmm. they're going to go kill him. And then the guy that's in the crew with Leonardo DiCaprio, I heard him say the wrong address in their own. So then he's like running there, and later on in the scene after there's a shootout, that guy that told him the wrong address says, I know you're the rat because I told you the wrong address and you were there before or right when we got there as well. And so then he's like, oh crap. And then that guy finally dies. Like that was the first time watching that, I was like, oh, he's just like going to subtly kill this guy or what?
Well, what's crazy is he grabs his gun too. Yeah. So it's like for a minute, you just think that all hell's going to break loose. And then the guy just dies because he was shot during a gunfight or whatever. But
like that was a crazy scene. The tension's so high in it.
Well, he wanted to know how he got to the right place because he remembered that he told him the wrong address. So he didn't tell anybody. Because it's feasible that, I mean, they were all trying to get a hold of him.
Yeah.
So it's feasible somebody else told him the right address or whatever. Let's see here. Mark Wahlberg is hilarious. When he gets in the fight with Leo, the smug look on his face. I already talked about that. And the line when they're setting up the cameras.
Yeah.
Those are the only notes that I took. I was too busy watching the movie to take any more notes.
Yeah.
Man, does it feel hot in here to you?
A little bit.
I'm like cooking in here today. Anyway. There's just so much that goes on in this movie. Another crazy scene is that one where they gave him the wrong address. So basically what happens is that they put the police put Matt Damon in charge of a team that is supposed to hunt the mole that's within the police.
Yeah.
So the problem with that is Matt Damon is the mole. So he can basically just run rampant throughout the department and frame whoever he wants and investigate whoever he wants for any reason that he wants and just make stuff up because he's the real mole. So he can keep the trail off of him the whole time. So he decides that it's funny because it links back to the advice that Queenum gave him to find the rat in the police department. He's like, hey, tail Nicholson and you'll find his rat. And so then he's just like sitting there thinking like, oh, I'm going to tail Queenum and I'll know who the undercover agent is. So he's tailing Queenum and they tail him all the way to the building where he's meeting up with DiCaprio, and DiCaprio suspects a tail and thinks that he saw one, but Queenum assures him that he doesn't have one. Big mistake. And anyway, they follow him all the way to 344 Wash, which is where which is the building in the movie where all the crazy stuff happens. And after a minute, like they find out he's there. He went to the top floor. He's up there for a minute. Matt Damon decides he's got to be meeting him. He's got to be. So he calls Frenchie and Nicholson, and they send everybody to 344 Wash. And that's when Dellum or whatever his name is tells DiCaprio it's at 314 Wash, which, you know, with how many like buildings there are in that area, might not really be that far away.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's like down the block or two, maybe.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
But anyway, so they gave him the wrong address. And I guess you don't hear gunshots until.
No, because there isn't any gunshots.
Well, that's when, because that Dellum guy gets shot.
Well, yeah, after, but
that's after, yeah. That's why I was saying, I guess you wouldn't hear, he wouldn't have heard any gunshots. I'm just trying to think of, like, other excuses he might have used.
Yeah.
As to why he arrived at the right building.
Yeah.
So anyway, DiCaprio and Queenum, they get alerted. Because they call DiCaprio and they're like, hey, Queenum's meeting the guy right now at 314 Wash or whatever. And so he's like, hey, you had a tail. You've been made. We have to get out of here. So they're trying to get out of here, but it's too late. Everybody's already out the building. So he goes out the fire escape and is rounding the corner. The guys have caught Queenum. And then, like, that just escalated so quickly.
Yeah.
Like, because we don't even see really what happens aside from Queenum is just like, hey, any of you guys got a light?
Yeah.
You know, like, making a joke. And they just grab him, take his gun from him, and, like, waste no time at all and just hurling him off the top of the building.
Yeah.
Which comes out of nowhere. Like,
oh,
he's like, oh, I'll be fine. I took his word for it. I assumed he would be fine.
Yeah.
And then, like, he's just, you just see him falling past the windows, and then it cuts to DiCaprio walking around the corner and just the body just hits the ground in front of him and right just blood spatter him. All yeah. over him. And you could tell just the look on his face is sheer terror at what just happened. One, because it's very surprising.
Oh, yeah.
Two, he likes that guy, Queenum. Mm-hmm. And three, it's like, that's one of two people who knows that he's an undercover yeah. agent and is his way out.
That's his protection.
Yeah. And now one of them is dead.
Yep.
So, and what
now? The
other
guy doesn't even like him.
Yeah. He got in a fist fight with the other guy just earlier in the movie. So, just the amount of, like, stress. And you can see it's, like, on his face. Like, he's yeah. so distraught about what's going on. And then they come out of the building and they're like, hey, where were you? Or whatever. And mm-hmm. he immediately straightens up.
Yeah.
And you can't even tell, which is crazy.
Yeah, he's like, you know? I'm here.
He's like, I'm here. Where were you guys? What's going on here? I'm walking around the corner and this guy lands on the ground in front of me. And then the cops who followed him saw something come off the building, but they didn't see like what landed or mm-hmm. where or whatever, you know. I imagine that the van is like blocking the view.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. It's just crazy. Then a shootout ensues. Mm-hmm. A cop gets hit. One of the mobsters gets hit, the guy who gave the wrong address, which is why
yeah.
when they get back there, you know, he's like, I gave you the wrong address. Just tell me how it was that you ended yeah. up there. I didn't tell anybody. So, because he doesn't even accuse him of being a rat. He just wants to know why. Because he yeah. knows that, he even tells him, he's like, I thought today for sure anybody who didn't show up was the rat.
Yeah.
But then you did show up, and I gave you the wrong address. So just explain to me why. I didn't tell anybody yeah. to tell me, you know,
mm-hmm.
before I tell everyone, I assume. But then he just dies because he's been shot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because, like, the second that he says, like, I gave you the wrong address.
You
like,
can see the panic on his face.
The panic in DiCaprio's face, and he reaches back and grabs his gun, which nobody notices.
Yeah.
And the guy reaches up and, like, grabs him. Mm-hmm. As he's dying, basically, so then he doesn't have to shoot anyone.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts, dude. And then, rightfully so, Dignam, Wahlberg's character, blames Queenum's death on Damon.
Yeah.
So they get into a fight, and now the head of the department is essentially, what's his face?
Matt Damon.
No, Alec Baldwin.
Oh, yeah, Alec Baldwin.
And yep. he is like, you're suspended 2 weeks without pay? Or was it with pay?
I don't remember.
Probably irrelevant.
Probably without, just to make it more dramatic.
Yeah. So he suspends Dignam, the one other guy who knows
yeah.
DiCaprio. And so now he has no contact
mm-hmm.
for 2 weeks. And he doesn't know that. He doesn't know how long the period of time is.
Yep.
He just knows that he can't get a hold of anybody there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then...
Well, no, isn't he trying... Whose phone does Matt Damon have?
Is that Queenum's phone?
Okay, yeah.
That's why there's like blood all over it and stuff.
I can't remember.
Yeah. So, yeah, he gets Queenum's phone
mm-hmm.
from his body, I guess.
I think it was just...
like the stuff he had on yeah, him after he hit uh-huh. the ground, yeah. And he just hits redial on the last number.
Mm-hmm.
And it was DiCaprio, Leo's, yeah. So they... he tries to get DiCaprio to come in, but he's not going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
At least not yet, anyway. So, just stuff just starts going nuts, man. Like, they put Dignam on suspension. They basically tell Matt Damon he's in charge of even more stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
They give him more power.
Yeah, because he found this rat in the yeah. system.
They're being way more aggressive with tracking Costello now because he basically killed, he's responsible for the death of Queenum, yeah. who everyone loves. So now they're tailing him and like way being way more aggressive,
mm-hmm.
which we ought to slow down for just a minute and probably insert our ad here so that we're not so aggressive.
Sure.
That was an excellent sponsor, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
So good. Anyway, so they're putting like these really aggressive tails on Costello now
yeah.
to try to catch him, and Matt Damon calls to warn him, and that scene is pretty great too because it's starting to play that is it the Boss Tones, is that who that is?
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that famous piratey sounding Boss Tones,
Shipping Up to Boston,
yeah, song. And it's like gaining traction and like more volume as all this craziness is like yeah, going on.
It's really good.
And then Nicholson freaks out and is just yelling at Damon on the phone, like, lose the freaking tail! And the music cuts.
Yeah.
And so he walks into the other room and tells him, like, hey, pull the, you know, the tail off of Queenum or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. We're going to take him down tonight. I'm working with the...
with the informant.
The informant. Mm-hmm. So he's text... I assume that at this point he's texting back and forth with DiCaprio, even though we don't see it. They get to this place. They're going to pick up a bunch of drugs from a storage container, essentially, and schlep them somewhere. I don't know where. But mm-hmm. DiCaprio is able to tell them he's getting in a different car and then tell that car that he was told to check the back so that he's able to slip away as all the cops roll in. This big shootout occurs. The thing that pushes Damon over the edge to turning on Nicholson is that he finds out through the notes that Queenum had on him that Nicholson was an FBI informant.
Yeah.
Because DiCaprio found that out
mm-hmm.
and told Queenum, obviously. So he's like turning on him now. There's this huge shootout. It ends with basically everyone dying.
Yeah.
Cops, everybody from the mob.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholson ends up shot, but like wandering through this construction site and calls Matt Damon, of all people, for some reason.
Well, I mean, he's going to be there.
Yeah, but there's like a billion cops, you know what I mean? Like, he'd probably need somebody else if he's trying to get an escape, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, he calls him. He could
be a diversion, though.
Yeah, I suppose. So he calls him, and he can hear the phone ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then Matt Damon walks around the corner just holding this phone up over his head for some reason. I don't know why. I just think that's so weird. Like,
there's a couple parts with this scene I thought was stupid. Like that, and the cops aren't that far away. Like, when it zooms out, they're just right around the corner with all the other bodies and stuff. Like, they could have heard these guys talking the whole time. And then, then they get in an argument and, Matt Damon ends up killing Jack Nicholson. And then he's like, hey, I got him over here. Like,
yeah,
the gunshots aren't going to give it away.
Well, maybe they just think that there's like, you know, when he's saying I got him, he's referring to Costello.
Yeah.
Because that's who they were looking for, you know? So the cops might have just thought like the other gunshots were maybe other gang members or something. So they might come around the corner reacting different, you know, like, hey, gunshots over here. It's a hot situation. So maybe by telling them like, hey, I got him or whatever, they know
that
the situation is diffused. So
I don't know. Maybe I was just tired, but last night I took it. I was like, hey, over here, come look what I found.
And it's funny because like throughout this movie, Costello is searching for this rat and he's going through all lengths to find him. Like, he has everybody write down their like social security numbers and names and dates of birth, bank accounts to give them to Matt Damon to run through the system to see if he can find out who the rat is.
Mm-hmm.
He's running disinformation campaigns to see if he can flush information back down through the pipe to Matt Damon to see who the rat is. He's like having these really intense discussions with people to try to find out who the rat is, you know, like he's doing everything that he could possibly do to try to figure it out. And he just can't figure out who it is. And then to top it all off, he himself is a rat.
Yeah.
So anyway, Matt Damon was worried that he had maybe given him up to the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
Which he said that he never told anybody ever anything. But as we find out later on, because Costello's lawyer was given all of these recordings
as an insurance policy.
And he ends up trusting DiCaprio's character more than anyone. He leaves him as the person to give this insurance stuff to.
Mm-hmm.
So DiCaprio ends up with recordings of all of the conversations
that he's
been recording everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any conversation that he had with anyone. So he even lies to Matt Damon. Then he was giving him up.
Yep.
He recorded the conversation. If you weren't going to give him up, why would you record it?
Yep.
You know what I mean? So he was giving up everybody, not just people who were going down anyway. You know,
the guy that first tells Leo about him being an FBI informant says, like, I just worried he's going to give me up just like everybody else. And so then he's like, wait, what? And then he has to go back over it and stop shooting that guy in the leg to get him to talk. And he's like, yeah, he's a rat. He tells the FBI everything. And so then it's just like, what?
I thought I was supposed to go into shock.
Yeah, I'm not going into shock. It hurts so much.
It just hurts.
It might be one of my favorite lines.
Yeah. But anyway, the whole that scene is funny too because, like, you know, DiCaprio's in there and interrogating this guy, smacking him around with a gun, end up shooting him in the leg. And still, he hears like a bang outside, which is just Frenchie playing with the neighborhood kids and some firecrackers.
Trying to cover
and
up
the sound. And he's like, is that Frenchie out there? Yeah. Like, he just panics. Like,
yeah.
Forget what I said. If that's Frenchie outside, I don't want to, I'm not saying anything, you know? I don't know. This movie is just so good.
So good. So that being said, do you want to go over the big plot twist reveal, or should we leave that for people to find out on their own?
You know what? I think people should find it on their own.
I agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, everything leading up to this point has just been so crazy.
Yeah.
And
it gets to the point where you see Leo find out Matt Damon is the rat after he's come forward as the informant on everything. And
yeah, there's a scene where...
Oh, my gosh. That's
intense. Because after that shootout at the warehouse, DiCaprio goes to the police, to the office, the investigative office or whatever, so that he can get paid and get his life back.
Yeah.
And Matt Damon...
trying to delete his existence.
Yeah, well, he wasn't going to do it until after... So he left the envelope with all the information sitting on his desk, and DiCaprio spotted it because it has his handwriting on it.
Mm-hmm.
And because they wrote, like, Citizens Trust on it.
Yeah.
But what's his face? The guy who got arrested earlier, he wrote citizens and didn't know how to spell it. So DiCaprio crossed it out and wrote citizens on there.
Yeah.
And so he saw it on the desk while Damon was going to get the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And so he panics and just bails.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to get out of here. This guy who's talking to me is the rat. He's Costello's rat. So he leaves, and that's when he finds out that he, you know, the lawyer left him the information and stuff. Mm-hmm. And basically sets up this crazy sequence of events that sets up the end of the film, which you'll have to watch it on your own because...
There's a...
Excellent!
Yeah. Some good twist you're not going to expect.
Yeah. It blows my mind every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so crazy. But anyway, Damon comes back to the office and sees... that he left, DiCaprio left, and so he goes back and then deletes everything, which is a super dick move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which actually does kind of, I mean, it's kind of, it does create kind of one plot hole, because later when he's recommending him for the Medal of Merit, if he deleted the records of him being there, how would he explain that away?
Yeah.
But that's the only one that I could find that was glaring anyway. You know what I mean? Like,
well, we're going to get into spoilers, but maybe he went back and fixed it.
yeah, maybe he backed it up. Who knows? So anyway, I think this movie is absolutely excellent. Oh,
it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Should we push it again?
Yeah.
Push it again.
Excellent!
Anyways. You should definitely all check it out. Right now it's streaming on Netflix.
Yeah.
I own it, but it was so convenient. I just streamed it.
Yeah.
So everybody should check it out. And Martin Scorsese's other movies. I don't know how many of them are on Netflix right now. Probably not many.
Yeah, I don't think so, but they are all great that I've seen.
Yeah. It's probably my favorite mobster movie of anything, which is crazy because it's not like when you think mob, you think like the Italian mob, and that's not what this is.
Not the Irish mob.
Yeah, not the Irish mob. But this, I think, is my favorite mobster movie.
There's a thing with Martin Scorsese where he likes X's in his backgrounds. So the scene where Martin Sheen's falling to the ground, the windows have X's in them.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, he does that in, I think, all of his movies. There's somewhere where there's a prominent X that you wouldn't think anything of.
Huh. Weird.
And originally, Jack Nicholson turned down this role. And then after meeting with Martin Scorsese, he...
I thought Pacino turned it down, and that's why they went with Nicholson.
Originally, Jack Nicholson turned down his role in the movie, but after meeting with Martin Scorsese, William Monahan, and Leonardo DiCaprio, he was finally convinced to play the role of Frank Castillo.
Huh. Well, anyway, I was reading somewhere earlier that Pacino was the first pick to play Costello.
Probably be okay.
Yeah, I think it would have been okay too, but I'm glad that it was Nicholson because he's amazing in this role.
Yeah, I'd give it a different feel. I think Nicholson gives it a different gravity. Where
Pacino, they definitely would have played the characters completely differently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And, I mean, it would have required then kind of a rewrite because how is it Irish mob?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
With Pacino.
Well, I mean, he's not going by Pacino.
Well, yeah, I know that. He would be Frank Costello.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he doesn't look like he's Irish.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't get me wrong, I like Al Pacino, but I think if I'm having to pick somebody to play this role,
you're not going to get an Italian looking guy.
Yeah, I'm definitely going with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah,
he just crushed it, man.
Oh, for sure,
so good as the mob boss.
And then, did you know this is a remake of a Hong Kong movie?
I did. It's called Internal Affairs.
I did not know that until just now.
Yep, and although not, basically, I just Googled The Departed and like a bunch of like common questions came up. So I just went to like, I don't know. One of them was like, how much of The Departed is true? And I know that it's not. I already knew that it was based on another film.
Okay.
But I didn't know what the name of it was either. And basically it was like, The Departed is not based on a true story. Although the two main characters are based on real people.
Mm.
The movie is basically a remake of the Hong Kong film Internal Affairs, although not in its entirety.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would imagine that it's two rats, you know, like just the basic idea probably.
So Leonardo DiCaprio described his character as being in a constant 24-hour panic attack. And you can kind of see it and feel it throughout the film.
She also, you know what? In the past, I've never thought much of her character. You know, like she's an important role.
Yeah.
But she is actually very important to what's going on in the movie.
Yeah.
Just with helping to show the differences in the character's development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, she develops a lot too. That scene where DiCaprio is sitting down with her, the one where he's like trying to get drugs out of her.
Yeah.
And he's not just trying to score smack or anything. Like he's not a druggie.
Yeah.
But like, he's obviously like,
he wants help.
He needs help. Yeah. And he's like yelling at this lady and giving her like this hard mm-hmm. time. And then she tells him to leave and he's like, or he wants pills and she thinks he's exhibiting drug taking behavior and he throws the two pills back at her and she's just like, get out of here. And he's like, you might as well have just given me a bottle of scotch and a gun so I can blow my own brains out. And, he's like, what if that wasn't an empty threat? You know what I mean? Like, what if I was being serious? Like, you need to rethink what you're doing, essentially, you know? Which is funny because, like, it really causes her to then question almost everything.
Yeah, what she's
because
doing
at that point, she's very kind of, up until that point in the film, she's not super important, but she's also very bland. Like, things mm-hmm. just kind of happen to her. But that's when she starts to, like, she's noticing, like, she's watching Matt Damon on the phone with Jack Nicholson out the window. And she's can tell that, like,
something's up.
Something's up, and she's concerned, you know? Like, mm-hmm. she's starting to notice things falling apart.
Yeah.
Around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I also like that the thing with the... So it's obviously DiCaprio's kid that mm-hmm. she's having.
Yeah.
Like, because throughout the movie, it's like there's little hints that Matt Damon is impotent essentially throughout the film. And he's lying about everything all the time and even mm-hmm. says he's a great liar, you know?
Yeah.
So, somebody asks, or Baldwin asks him like how he's doing. He's like, oh, I'm working overtime in that department or whatever, you know?
Yeah. It makes a really weird, uncomfortable scene. And Baldwin is just looking at him like, yeah, okay.
Good for you, bro. Yeah. Anyway, she's phenomenal in this movie. She's really good.
I didn't even go over this. I should have. This actually won an Oscar for Best Picture.
Mm. Yeah, when they won it, Martin Scorsese said that he was surprised the film had won. because the film is such a tough, nasty, and violent film, he never thought about the idea of awards as he was filming it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because, like, I get it that there's a lot of films out there that people would consider Scorsese's best. You know, a lot of people really liked that Irishman movie.
Yeah.
A lot of people would probably say something like Taxi Driver or Goodfellas, which is great. Absolutely great.
Yeah.
But to me personally, those movies aren't in my top five. You know what I mean? Like, for me, when it comes to Scorsese, this is it. Like, this is his best film. I just love it, man. I absolutely love it. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah,
it really is. I can't really say anything else more about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I also don't want to give away the ending. I think people should watch it.
Oh, yeah,
should,
for sure.
Should get that surprise for themselves. Oh,
good payoff.
Because it's so good.
I was going to say Brad Pitt was originally Colin Sullivan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can see that.
But later dropped out to do Babel.
Oh, wow.
Garbage film. But, yeah, his production company stayed on. Yeah, I think that's pretty much all the good stuff.
Alrighty.
Check this out, because it's awesome.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Do you want to plug our stuff?
Yeah, you can follow us on Instagram at Excellent Movie Adventures and send us an email, excellentmovieadventures@gmail.com, or Twitter, we're Excellent Movie Pod, and you can follow Pickle at those places, too.
Yep. At Pix Adventures, both places.
And bye-bye.
Yep, see you next week.
Excellent Movie Adventures!